the brand new Eagles beat writer for The Athletic. Zach Berman joins us. Zach, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime, man. And I appreciate you taking the time. You were at practice today. What stood out for you at Eagles practice?
Yeah, the thing that really jumps out to me is the amount of work the first team, offense and defense, but that the starters are getting right now. It's a departure, frankly, from the way Doug Peterson's done it in previous years, and he's really viewing these preseason practices like a game, you know. And just as a point of reference, Carson Wentz is very seldom coming off the field, and Clayton Thorson's barely taking any passes right now, and that's because they're really sticking to the ones and twos. And then I think for the twos and threes, their work's going to come in preseason games. But my big takeaway is the way Doug Peterson's approaching practice. That's a big change from previous years.
Do you think a situation like how he's approaching it has to do with the fact that he's, at least in the first game, was reluctant to play a lot of his starters?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the trend, frankly, throughout the preseason. At this point, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess you don't see the starters this preseason. And it wouldn't be abnormal. The Los Angeles Rams did it last year. Jared Goff didn't play in the preseason. They went to the Super Bowl. And you're seeing it more and more. Even, you know, quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers last year only played one preseason game and didn't really take that many snaps. And I think if Carson's out there at all, that's what he's doing. Maybe one game and not many snaps. So I think that's Doug Peterson's approach, really doing everything he can to get to September 8th in one piece.
Zach, all show long, I've been trying to hammer the point home that Carson Wentz does not need to play any preseason whatsoever. He should be fine. And the blowback that I've gotten from people that disagree with me is his timing issue. Now, it's my contention that you shouldn't have to worry about timing because his rookie year, he had pretty good timing, missing the whole preseason with really bad wide receivers. With good wide receivers, his timing should be fine. Am I wrong in this thinking, or is there some merit to the whole timing issue with Carson Wentz in the preseason?
No, you're absolutely right. And frankly, I think that 2016 example is spot on. That he got hurt the first preseason game, sat for 3.5 weeks, didn't practice, really didn't play, and then was out there starting week one and was fine. And, I when you talk about timing, that's coming during practice. If he wasn't practicing with the receivers, and that was the issue last year, I think that's when it comes to play more. But when you're talking about him being out there every day with really all his targets, Dallas Goedert's banged up right now, so Goddard's not practicing, but he's going to have his timing down. What you see in preseason games, that's not preparing you for timing. That's giving you a light pass rush, a defensive look that maybe you're not used to. Those are really the only things. But I think you'd much rather have Carson healthy, ready to go week one, then even jeopardize it during the preseason.
Keeping up with Carson Wentz, what is the difference, if any, you've noticed from him being down at practice all the time? What is the difference between him this season as opposed to last season?
Well, the big difference is that he's out there, you know, and last season, after the first few days, they held him back, and he wasn't doing team drills, wasn't doing 7-on-7s, and you know, and I think that was why he was rusty early in the season. As far as the way he's playing, you know, you can say that he's sharper, he's throwing the ball downfield more. I actually don't think Carson has been, like, so outstanding during training camp. I don't think there's been many days where you've really been wowed by him. Although I think where Carson's best is when he's improvising, and he's really been staying in the pocket by design during camp. I think when they get to live games and it's a 3rd and 8 and he can extend the play, I think that's really when you'll see Carson Wentz be a difference maker. I think he's been good this camp. I just don't think he's been, like, exceptional. But it's nothing I would worry about.
Now let's move to his backup, Nate Sudfeld. He has a fluke injury that happens, breaks his wrist. The normal timetable, I think, is 4 to 8 weeks. Realistically, though, when do you think he'll be back?
Yeah, I think if you cut the difference there, if you're thinking 6 weeks, I think that would be an ideal situation. Well, I guess ideal to have him there for week one, but I don't know if that's going to take place. So I think if you're looking if you're looking 6 weeks, so that's, you know, about week two of the season, I think they can get by with Cody Kessler. Now, you obviously would have liked to see more of Sudfeld during camp and during preseason games, and then they're not going to get that look. So that's something that you can be concerned about. I think where it also affects them is with the roster match. They had planned, at least in my opinion, or hoped, to have Clayton Thorson as their number three, and you just can't do that now. You got to carry Cody Kessler on the roster because he's your backup on game day. So I think it kind of affects how they put the roster together and their evaluation of Sudfeld. But as long as Carson stays upright those first 2 weeks, I don't think it's going to be a big deal because I think Sudfeld will be back sometime mid to late September.
Well, that actually is a good way to go to my next question. A lot of teams nowadays go to two quarterbacks on the roster. Eagles last year went with three. So you're saying you expect them to still stick with three quarterbacks on the roster instead of going with two?
Well, yes, definitely early on in the season when Sudfeld's not ready to play, there had been some speculation that they would try to get Thorson on the practice squad even before this injury and only carry two. I thought if Thorson showed potential this summer, they would carry him and develop him. You know, the Eagles really look at those last few spots on the roster, say spots 49 to 53, as developmental spots anyways. You know you're going to have a certain amount of healthy scratches each week. So I thought they were going to carry three. Now I definitely think they're going to carry three, at least those first few weeks, because they're going to carry Sudfeld on the 53-man roster, and he's not going to be ready to play.
Now, one name I'm sure you've been tweeted at a ton. We've gotten a ton of calls on it. But going out and getting a backup quarterback, do you think they should? I know Doug Peterson said they won't, but what do you think they should do?
I don't think they should at this point. If Nate Sudfeld was out for 2 months, if Nate Sudfeld was out for the season, it would be a different story. But if you're talking about getting Nate Sudfeld back the first, month of the season, and all you really need to worry about is, two, three games, I think Cody Kessler's fine in that situation. He's a guy who, has played games before. He can be a backup in those spots. So no, I would, stand pat as it is. If it was a longer-term injury, then you're talking about more of a veteran backup. But if you're committed to Nate Sudfeld being your number two, then you can get by. If you had any hesitation about Sudfeld being your number two, that's when you start talking about bringing in more of a veteran type with experience.
All right, let's move on to the injury front. Derek Barnett apparently did, in fact, come back to practice, which is huge. What is the latest with some guys like Barnett, how they're coming along, and guys like Jalen Mills?
Yeah, Barnett's back, and I wouldn't be worried about him. He'll be ready to go. Fletcher Cox still hasn't practiced. My sense there is that he'll be back. The two injuries I would really watch in terms of lingering from last year is obviously Jalen Mills. He's on PUP right now, and the Eagles put him on PUP to begin camp because it preserves the option that they can keep him on that list at the beginning of the regular season. So that's one to definitely monitor. And then Nigel Bradham, that's another interesting one. He hasn't been out there, coming off a foot-toe injury after the playoff game. And that's a big injury because they don't have the depth that I think they need at linebacker. So I'm really monitoring that one. But Rodney McLeod's back out there. Ronald Darby, he's getting close to returning. You have guys who've been banged up this summer, Lane Johnson, Dallas Goedert, but I expect them both back for week one.
All right, let's move on to actually a guy that you just talked about, Jalen Mills, who you're projecting to be the starting outside cornerback. Avante Maddox looked pretty good. So I ask you, what are the odds that Jalen Mills gets Wally pipped?
It's a good question. I don't think it'll be Avante Maddox who would do it. I think it would be Sidney Jones or Rasul Douglas who would do it. If Mills isn't ready for week one, then you're going to have Jones or Douglas out there. And if those guys play well, I don't see how you take them out of the lineup. That's me talking. That's not the coaching staff talking. They have a lot of loyalty to Jalen Mills. They want a Super Bowl with him. And he's played well for them before. I just think that with what you've invested in the development of Jones and Douglas especially, and the fact that they've been healthy this offseason, they're playing well this offseason, I think you need to give them every chance to stay as starting corners. Avante Maddox, I know he's been on the outside. I think more likely he's your slot cornerback. He can also help as a deep safety if Rodney McLeod gets hurt. Now, I'm not saying he can play the outside, but I think he presents more value for them as their slot.
Another developmental guy, second year guy also, Jordan Mailata. Now, he's converting to right tackle. And it's funny, Zach, because you know, I was producing the morning show with Jamie and Bob, and we were saying how he didn't look good. And then Trey Thomas called in, who's you know knows a little thing about offensive line, and he was like, no, he looked pretty all right. How do you think he's converting to playing left tackle last year? Now he's asked to play right.
Yeah, well, I'll defer to Trey Thomas when it comes to evaluating offensive line because he knows more than me there. But, you know, I didn't think the game was exceptional. You know, I thought he showed flashes. I also think there were times when he looked like a guy playing in his second year. You know, he's farther along than he was 1 year ago. All right, so that's the key. And he's playing on the right side now, which shows expanded versatility. I think if he can become your swing tackle either this year or next year, that's a good situation. I would absolutely keep him on the 53-man roster to develop, but I would have no intention of giving him meaningful playing time this year. I still think that there's a lot of development there, and I didn't see anything the other night that made me think like he's ready to play right now. That being said, that frame 6'8", 346, the age he's at, how much he's learning, that's all positive. But Andre Dillard's obviously ahead of him. And if you're talking about your future starting tackle, I think you put Andre Dillard higher on that list.
All right, two more before I let you go. We'll move to the defensive end spot. A lot of people are putting a lot of stock in Josh Sweat. His first game out, look, he's going against a three-time Pro Bowler in Taylor Lewan, but I didn't think he looked that great. A guy who did look really good was Deshaun Hall. Now, I'm trying not to buy in too much to the preseason hype, but how has he looked in camp, and what did you make of his performance?
Yeah, Deshaun Hall's looked good in camp, too. Now, he's hurt right now. So he hasn't practiced these past 2 days. So you take that into consideration a bit, but he's been really good this summer and it shouldn't really be a surprise. I mean, this is a guy who was a third round pick a few years ago. The Eagles picked him up late last year to keep him on the roster. And he was a 3-4 outside linebacker in his previous stop. And the Eagles, you know, where they were really getting him to lose weight. The Eagles wanted him to put on muscle. He's much bigger this season than he was last season. And he's been making plays. He's absolutely in contention for that fourth defensive end spot. I'm higher on Josh Sweat than some other people are. I think he's going to be a player for them. I like the obviously the physical tools. I like the development he's made. I don't think his performance in the game was like outstanding, and I certainly think Deshaun Hall played better than him. But I'm still guessing Josh Sweat is the number four defensive end this season.
All right, last one before I let you go. Who's been the most disappointing so far, and who's been the brightest spot?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's see. So the most disappointing, I guess I would say Stefan Wisniewski, and I only say that because I thought he would be in there in the right guard mix if Brandon Brooks wasn't playing. They really put Halepulavanti Vaitai as the right guard with the first team, and maybe it's because they know Wiz can play guard, but I don't think Wiz has been great at center. So you kind of put me on the spot in terms of most disappointing. But
yeah, sorry, man.
I guess no problem. I guess that's one that would jump to mind. The other one, you know, is the fact that, you know, Jalen Mills still recovering from that injury, and same with Nigel Bradham. So if you're not talking about injuries, you're talking about performance, I guess I would go with Wisniewski. In terms of the surprise, I don't know if Miles Sanders is a surprise, but he looks really good. So I would go with Miles Sanders. And then the other guy, I would say, Sidney Jones isn't a surprise, but I think Sidney Jones has played at a real high level this summer. And I think people are going to start to see the Sidney Jones that the Eagles drafted in the second round.
That's great to hear. Zach, I appreciate the time. You can check out his book. It's the must-read for all Eagles fans. It's Underdogs, the Philadelphia Eagles' Emotional Road to Super Bowl Victory. You can find that on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And also read his stuff at The Athletic. I know they're always having, you know, deals and stuff. Is there one right now that you know of off the top of your head?
Yeah, well, if you click on my article, then I believe there's a promotion at the bottom of the article right now. So if you just go to theathletic.com, and click on my name. Last I checked, there was a limited time offer there.
Awesome. And follow him on Twitter @ZBerm. Zach, I really appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you later.
Great. Thanks a lot.
And there he is, Zach Berman.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.